What's up, everybody? This is Rome. This is Sources from the Sofa Sports Podcast. Welcome back. Today's episode's a lot of fun. Since I'm in SoCal, I was dropping up my daughter in LA, got a chance to meet up with the guys for dinner. So we went to BJ's in Corona, grabbed quite a few rounds of cocktails, enjoyed pizza, pretzels, wings, and decided to do a podcast afterwards, because what's not better than doing a podcast after a few rounds of drinks? So we'll give you a dinner recap. Also, free agency in the NFL, including the Bears, the Raiders. What are they really doing? Are they winning now or building for the future? And Josh Allen's new contract. I kind of squabble a little bit about the Steelers as well. Then that's in the first segment. Second segment, we go into the NBA. Lakers dropping a couple games without LeBron. We do a deep dive into a Dallas Mavericks conspiracy theory. And then we kind of, hedge some bets of whether Phoenix can make the playoffs. We then end the pod with some more ramblings from the night, little F1 talk, but really a recap of UFC 313 from none the other, or Aaron Toler. So, fun pod. You want to check this out. Don't go anywhere. We are recording live Monday night. I'm in Southern California. I had a chance to meet up with the guys before we were jumping onto the pod. We met up at BJ's, one of Jason's go-to restaurants here in Corona. Aaron loved it. I loved it. It was a good time. I haven't been to a BJ's in quite a long time.
Wait, haven't given what? I mean, let's just rephrase that. Talk about the restaurant here.
It's quite delicious.
The restaurant, by the way.
Deep dish wasn't that deep, but it was good.
She wanted a little more on the deep end there.
Yeah, I could have went with the mushrooms, actually. Who doesn't like mushrooms again?
I didn't like mushrooms.
No, like no mushrooms?
No. Sausage pepperoni. But we also ordered the tavern style and we got the deep dish. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Be thankful we did not end up with the mushrooms.
Yeah. I'm glad we didn't order two pizzas because I was pretty stuffed. Pretzel is my favorite thing. The cheese is phenomenal. The pretzel is like delicious. Wasn't dry. Like, that's like my biggest gripe with pretzels. They're always dry. Like, why are pretzels dry? I don't get it.
I don't know. The pretzel was an audible for me as the waiter was leaving, man. I felt we just needed one more thing with the wings and the pizza, you know?
That was the game-winning play, man, with the pretzel. And then Aaron, who orders a pound of wings? Like, the way he ordered it, I'm just like, what?
Well, he ate 3/4 of a pound of whatever was there.
The wings. I had two. You had none. It was just his thing. Like, he had wings at the other place, too.
Man likes his wings, you know. He wasn't going boneless either. He was just going straight down to the bone in every one of those things.
He ordered 8 at the other restaurant. He had 6. I had 2 of them. By the time I had 2, they were all gone. All the sauces were gone. Don't go half and halves on chicken wings with Aaron. Like, that's definitely a rule from here on out.
He wants the full pound.
Yeah, he wants the full pound. He likes getting all the meat off the bone.
I like that bone in, if you know what I mean, guys.
Yeah, I definitely know.
You know, as soon as Jason said he didn't like any ranch, I didn't feel like sharing the wings, honestly. Kind of threw me off.
Listen, I'm from Chicago, man. I don't put ranch on my pizza. I wasn't growing up that way. This seems like a California thing that's spread out to the rest of the United States. But
you know what? I never ate pizza with my ranch either, and I just don't know when I started doing it. I think it was like in college. I think we used to do like Tapatio and ranch. Anyways, we had a good time at BJ's. So it was the first time we all met in person in quite a long time, and it was good stuff. So we got to do that more often, at least once a month or once every other month at least.
Whenever you're like in town, Rome, for more than like 30 minutes and doing a 20-hour drive tour up and down the coast of California.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. We have a lot of stuff to talk about on the pod. Westbrook, my dog, is here in the and Aaron's there's so much reverb here. It's like so much goddamn fucking lacquer. Catch on fire.
I mean, you wanted to say Aaron's studio over here, you know?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Poker room right here. Where so much to talk about in the NFL, NBA that happened over the weekend. Lakers, Celtics, big game on Saturday. Denver played, it seems like, a million games over the course of five days. 5 days over the weekend. We got a bunch of NFL free agent signings, some trades. My Steelers, what the hell are they doing? Jason's Bears, he's already committed to claiming number one in that division. However premature that may be.
Hang the banner. 2025 off-season champions, Rome.
Off-season champs, Bears, year after year.
Between the Ben Johnson hire and what they've done here, I couldn't agree more being the off-season champs, the Bears.
Yeah. Where do we start? Let's start with football first, because there's like a lot of things going on. Then we'll circle back to the NBA. First off, Niners. Lots of guys are leaving the team right now. Brock Purdy has yet to sign a contract. We're hearing like a lot of rumors, man. I think like they're trying to get him in like in the 35 range, and I think he wants like the 40 to 45 range. Kind of getting kind of sticky, but they like Brock. Brock likes them. Other teams might not like Brock as much. A lot of teams have traded for quarterbacks. Like this, what's weird about this offseason is that a lot of guys have acquired quarterbacks when they were supposed to be drafting new quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. You have Shedeur Sanders. You have Cam Ward. You have other guys like from Ole Miss. Like the list goes on. There could be a Brock Purdy in this draft. But yet we see Sam Darnold. You son of a bitch. Jesus Christ, West. My dog just ran over my lap.
He's been wild, bro. He's over here playing musical chairs like
this
it's nothing,
fucking
dude.
ADD. This guy's been bouncing around from chair to chair to chair. Like, sit down. Hey, sit down. You know, right, we should kick this ass out.
I told you, man.
You called it.
I told you. Look at, you know, basically we're just hitting him with a technical foul right now.
Yeah.
And he's one tech away from being gone.
Exactly. So you got Sam Darnold. He's signing with the Seahawks. You got Justin Fields. He's going to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers possibly going to my Steelers. We thought he was going to the Rams, but Stafford re-signed there. Geno Smith, inexplicably, out of nowhere, gets traded to the Las Vegas Raiders. And honestly, he's a pretty good quarterback. That's like not like a small deal. He's a legitimate, above average, top 15, maybe 10 on any given Sunday quarterback in the league. So he's going there. We've had conversations here where me and Jason were like, dude, like Raiders are building long term. But now looking back, it's like, dude, they have an old man as coach. They're trying to win now. This is not going to end well. I think I'm calling it now, dude. This is not going to end well for the Raiders. You have long-term thinking, short-term thinking all at the same time. Getting Geno Smith makes no sense to me. And then you're like, well, what are the Seahawks doing? Well, apparently they're going to get rid of DK Metcalf, send him to the Steelers, and then they're going to sign Darnold. So lots of things going on. Aaron, you picked where to start.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, Jason's here. It's late night. We were hanging out, BJ's restaurant, having a few drinks, pizza. Let's start with the off-season Kings, the Chicago Bears. I'm going to start there.
Jesus.
What's wrong, Rum? You want to start the Bears?
Yeah, no, let's do the Bears.
I mean, just because the Steelers right now, their biggest signing, it's literally a monster of a man in DK Metcalf. But what the Bears have done, they'd run DK out the building. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we were talking about this, you know, while we were at dinner. The excitement of the Bears, I mean, none of these guys are blowing you away from, hey, these aren't the high-profile free agents that you're going to talk about. But could these be the guys that are going to make a difference to the impressive skill players that the Bears already have? So three interior linemen, two through trades last week that we talked about. And then today kind of seeing Drew Dalman probably seen as top five center in the league from the Falcons last season. little bit of an ankle injury last year, but played nine games. Just 95% pass block win rate, huge in the run game as well. I mean, you're talking just automatic upgrade at center, which is, you know, arguably one of the more important positions on the offensive line that really controls what's going on. You know, pair that with what they did at guard with the trade with the Rams and the Chiefs last week. You overhauled the interior of the Bears line, which basically throughout the last season, Caleb Williams was getting no time, you know, from a pass protection standpoint, but also the bigger deal was like they weren't making any holes last year for the running game. You could never get the run game going. You know, Aaron and I were just constantly criticizing the bouncing outside that the running game was kind of entailed, couldn't move the ball up the field, taking pressure off of Caleb, you know, just no chance because they know every team's being able to stop the Bears run defense with the front seven and in some cases the front four. So you pair that with a couple additions on defense, Grady Jarrett, you know, a little bit past his prime, but I still think an effective player they got on the defensive line. And then I'm blanking Aaron, who they signed from the pass rushers that they got from the Colts, kind of fits, you know, fits what Dennis Allen's doing from a defensive line standpoint. So you've bolstered both sides of the ball on, you know, the offensive and defensive line, really where the Bears struggled last season. So when you talk about, you know, what they need to do to address it, you sign these guys to basically two plus contracts, which is everyone's like 2 years guaranteed with the one option. So you're basically pairing these guys with the end of Caleb's rookie deal. And so, hey, this is a win now kind of move. You can, you know, one could argue the Bears are paying a lot for three interior linemen, but when it becomes, you know, so important to get Caleb the pass protection needed and you're giving everything you can in his first couple of years to be effective, hey, you maybe overpay slightly to get what you need, but you got the quarterback cheaper right now. You can afford to overpay. And we haven't even talked about what the Bears can do in the draft. So I'd expect, you know, Bears drafts another guard or probably a tackle. You know, they have, you know, pretty much the right tackle, you know, all done. But a left tackle still maybe a question mark. So some opportunity. But when you talk about the Bears winning the offseason, starts with Ben Johnson. You know, that's probably the most topic Rome wants me to shut up about is talking about Ben Johnson. But I think overall that was the biggest hire and the biggest move for the Bears in the offseason. And him and Ryan Poles, I think, are lockstep of what needed to be done. They got the guys they need from an offensive line standpoint, probably get some development pieces around there from a backup perspective. I think, you know, potentially another D lineman they're going to get in the draft, I'd expect too. But now, since you've addressed some of the offensive and defensive line, what do they do with the 10th overall pick? A lot of Bears fans are talking Ashton Jeanty, and the Bears need the big time running back to pair with what they have at wide receiver, a little bit of change of pace to pair with what they have with DeAndre Swift. We'll see. I don't know if he falls to them at 10, but I think now that the Bears have secured offensive, defensive lines that you could be comfortable with going into the offseason, you may not have to spend this top 10 pick on that. You can get another skill position player, but I'll be very interested. Or in a draft where many consider not the best draft out there, do the Bears trade down, accumulate a few picks? Many say like the difference between the 10th pick and the 30th pick in the draft a lot of times aren't big a difference. So, hey, do you get some more draft capital, add a little more youth? So when a couple of these guys they sign in free agency come up in a couple of years, you've already been developing something behind. So I think the Bears got a lot of options right now, and I think that's why I put them in an early favorite for winners of the offseason. I don't want to transition. I want to hear you guys' thoughts, but I think I hear Bears and Aaron's Broncos as some of the ones that may have made some of the big moves. So I don't know, Aaron. I mean, I'm Bears homer here, man. Rome's getting tired of me on it, but we were at dinner talking about it, and you said, hey, Bears rising up those NFC power rankings with these moves today.
You know, I think I said about 2 months back, Rome, you can quote me on this, when they hired Ben Johnson and the Bears lost, or the Lions lost all their coaches. I think I said preseason, I'm moving the Bears up to number two in the NFC North. And right now it's looking that way. I mean, they've done a great job this offseason, basically improving the interior of their offensive line through free agency and trades. And then the defensive line upgrade there too. the coaching staff we know is a huge upgrade with Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen coming over. We didn't even mention running backs coach Eric Bieniemy. They brought in a great staff. We know Ben Johnson was going to get the most out of Caleb Williams. This is what it's all about right now. Rookie contract. Got to like what the Bears are doing. I like Jason said, moving out of the 10th spot. I think the Bears are going to move down. Why not accumulate picks? Could they use an Ashton Jeddy? Sure. Is he really needed? Not really. Unless like really an elite pass rusher, I think, falls to him, or like an offensive tackle. If they want to go, you know, a few guys. Texas got an offensive lineman. There's another one out of Alabama and a few other guys if they want to go that route. But hey, if you can move down and maybe accumulate a pick late in the first and mid or early second round and keep the stack in picks, given what they're doing, depth is always great. And that's one thing, Ben Johnson coming from the Lions, they accumulated a lot of draft picks and a lot of depth on that offensive line, defensive line. Even with all the injuries that you saw on both sides of the ball, they were still competitive. Eventually caught up to them just having so many guys on the IR. But yeah, I like the idea of moving down. I don't like the idea of picking up Jeddy, but improving the interior of that line. Me and Jason talked about it. The run game, Ben Johnson's really creative. The Lions had one of the best 1-2 running back combinations. So maybe they do go to that so they can have that with the Bears. But moving down in the draft makes a lot of sense, I think, for the Bears going forward.
Nice. I have no feedback on the Bears. I know you guys are pretty excited about them. They haven't been really making national news. I've been keeping track more like the Niners, what they're doing, Steelers. Pats have been loading up, especially on the defensive side. They've been spending a lot of money. But number two in the NFC?
Rome, you're saying they're not making national news. I'm on ESPN.com right now, and literally the headline is, are the Bears spending too much on their interior overline overhaul? So, like, they are making national news.
Hey, if the Bears aren't making national news, then the national news needs to get fired and step out right now, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the problem with Rome's talking about Steelers and Niners
I think Rome's on Steelers.com right now. I got to go check his screen, but I think he's on Steelers.com.
You guys are definitely on Bears.com. Right now I'm seeing 49ers release their tight end after 8 seasons, so he's gone.
You're telling me the Steelers leasing a tight end is national news? That's what you're looking at right now?
Niners releasing their tight end, yeah.
The fullback. Yeah.
Okay.
Yuzchek is out.
I couldn't pronounce his name. I was like, I'm not going to even bother.
Ex-Raven, 49er. Interesting. I'm surprised. Maybe Yuzchek will resign. They also lost Greenlaw to the Broncos. I think Jason brought up Denver. Denver's been making a lot of moves, man. Sean Payton, those guys, they're not standing around right now. Rookie contract, you got a good quarterback. You got to make moves right now. The time to win is now.
Rams releasing Cup. That's pretty big as well. I'm still stunned about Wilson going to the Dolphins.
That's Zach Wilson, not Russell Wilson.
I know.
Yeah.
Zach, you know, still, it's just kind of weird. Everything. This is like such a weird free agent offseason. And this is way before the draft. I'm not sure if I like this free agency period before the draft so much. I wish we had the draft before the free agency period.
Nah. You need the free agency, man. Then you know in the draft what holes you're plugging and everything like that. Only some of the guys are going this first wave, because a lot of these guys are going to be, you know, OTA signings or early training camp and stuff. Some of these veterans that may be out there that aren't going to be on this first wave after the draft's come and done. So I think it gives it a different wave. And the NFL, there's one thing the NFL knows. They know how to make headlines year-round. Like, we're in the midst of, you know, playoff, like, seeding time for the NBA and NHL. Baseball's getting down to, like, you know, mid to end of spring training right now. You know, we're in the midst of the start of racing season. But the NFL is just going to roll out the combine over the weekend right into free agency. And now, you know, we're going to be talking, and you know, draft countdown here and just own the headlines there. Like, the NFL knows how to own 12 months on the calendar.
So they just had the combine. Now it's free agency. Draft is coming up. You have more releases happening in the next month or two. They own it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they do a great job. I mean, yeah, free agency right now. You had the combine. You got now these individual players that did not do the combine. They got their pro days coming up between the next 2 or 3 weeks. You think they got the draft. Then you got the schedule release. Then you got OTAs into camp. So, yeah, I mean, the NFL's done a great job of scheduling out their schedule for full 12 months. And, Rome, as you mentioned, unlike most networks, the NFL network actually, like, is a real, like, network. It is NFL football 24-7. It's not like the NBA that's 24-7 running reruns from, like, the 1980s on replay at 2 a.m. Like, the NFL is breaking news first thing in the morning. They have their own talk show, podcast, everything. It is truly NFL 24-7, 365.
I think we were talking about this, like, off-camera, like, either, like, this past week or week prior. How NFL just has it locked down. Like, if you watch their NFL channel, it just feels like you're watching, like, the stock market, a ticker, like, rumors happening, coaches being hired, stuff happening in practice, who's working out, exciting stuff, like, always new content nonstop all year round. And the NBA, if you click on the NBA TV, you're right, lots of old replays. All the guys are in the studio. Really tiresome, man. They look like they're stoned.
They're all like 60 plus too, man. I mean, I like 3D Dennis Scott, but like he was old back in the 90s, man.
Yeah, you know, just like everyone looks stoned.
Greg Anthony, his kid's as old as us, dude.
Yeah, Greg Anthony has looked pretty tired for like a decade now. But yeah, you know, it's totally different. I totally agree. NFL Network kicks ass. But congratulations, Jason, to your Chicago Bears for having a good offseason.
I got just one thing. I mean, we're talking about the Bears, but why is he wearing a Blackhawks hat?
That's true.
I mean, I'm not feeling it, man. I get the Bears hat on. Blackhawks shirt, Blackhawks hat. I mean, Chicago, this is the proudest moment and he throws this on.
Listen,
I'm disappointed.
Listen.
I am disappointed.
Wow. I mean, I am
appreciative that he paid for dinner, so I can say this now. But I'm not digging the Blackhawks hat right now.
Wearing this at dinner, were you?
I was not. No, I just came home. Changed?
Quick. They would have charged him double, dude. Wearing that.
Quick wardrobe change, man. Like, what do you want from me? I mean, Rome found out I still had hair today. He hadn't seen me not in a hat in like 20 years.
That's not true. I
knew that's true. That is true. I asked him. I said, "Hey, Rome, like, what's Jason's haircut?" He says, "It looks like yours." I said, "Okay." I didn't recognize him when he walked in the room.
I don't remember ever saying that, but I knew it looked shorter.
You know, what can I tell you?
I'm losing hair myself.
Oh yeah, okay.
He's got a little bit of that Chuck Liddell Iceman look going now. Jason the Iceman Zinke. That might be something to go with.
Oh, that's true. Oh, dude, that's actually pretty on point. Actually,
I miss my UFC calling. You know?
Yeah. No, it's not too late. Start drinking more of those vodka tonics and start getting the fights, man. You're almost there.
I think it's too late.
I think so too.
There was a. Man, I gotta find it right now. There was a great. Oh man, I gotta find this thing. You're talking about drinking and going to fights. There was a great thing on Twitter I saw yesterday. This dude's out of Philly or some crap like that.
It's not Metcalf and Pickens, right?
No, it was like fan crap. Man, where is it at? I don't know. Long and short of it was basically like this Reddit post. Basically, this guy's like in Philly. He's like looking for a guy that's willing to get into a fist fight right now. No weapons, you know, about 5 to 7 minutes, just square up depending on your stamina. Meet me at X and X in Philly right now.
Really?
The Twitter comment was just like, fourth week without football. dude's just like, hey, let's just get into a fight right now, man. We're not trying to kill each other. Just a good old fashioned fist fight in the corner of such and such in Broad Street in Philly.
You know, because at the link, you have that every other week, at least of a home game. So it makes sense.
100%, man. The guys are just like, hey, I'm doing some off-season training right now. But I was dying when I saw that on Twitter.
That's pretty great. You definitely got to send it to us. Do you like the Sam Darnold signing in Seattle?
I do. I do like that signing, man. I mean, it's a good deal. What, $33.5 million a year, 3 years? Basically, they wanted Geno. They offered him the same deal, Rome. We talked about it, and Geno said no, so they quickly shipped him out of town for a third-round pick. DK's gone with a second round. So you get Darnold, you get a second and third extra added. I mean, Darnold, Geno, is it really that big of a difference at quarterback? I don't think so. DK is kind of a, you know, a bit of a headache. He can be a bit troublesome, to say the least.
He's a diva for sure.
So I think the cultural change, they got rid of, you know, Tyler Lockett. We didn't even bring that up. One of their best wide receivers ever in franchise history. So now really they're just left with Nick Jigua as the wide receiver. They got some good running backs. So I think Seattle's, you know, starting over on offense, still really got a good defense with the coach there. And they got a new OC. I think I mentioned it's Kubiak, right? Kubiak's going to be running the offense there. So you know they're going to go probably more power run game since that's kind of what he's known for. And Darnold had one of his best games. If you go back and look at Week 15's film against Minnesota against Seattle, that was kind of the game that propelled Minnesota that everybody thought like, oh, well, they can make a real move. And then from there, they kind of collapsed. But I like the move at the finances. They got it.
I was kind of shocked that they got rid of Geno because, man, they ended at 10-7, just missed out on winning the NFC West, which that was our wild card pick, at least to make the wild card. So we hit that one. But to kind of reboot right now, I know, Jason, when they got rid of Geno Smith, you text us like, I just don't get what they're doing anymore. You know, it's kind of like a reset. It's year two with a new coach. They got a new OC. They just got rid of a few offensive weapons. Like, I know they got Darnold, but I'm not actually getting the whole picture.
Yeah, I guess it made more sense to me after I said that with if the plan was Darnold all along. I think is when it comes to some of those aging superstars they have, when you talk about, you know, a lot of these things are made because of salary cap constraints. So everyone can judge, hey, I'm getting rid of DK, I'm getting rid of this person, because, you know, when you're up against the salary cap and you got to make these moves, like this is where these, you know, higher end, you know, contracts need to get moved on. The weirder thing for me, I guess, is the Raiders end of the trade now in hindsight, because like, okay, you go get Geno, but you weren't going to be a player for Darnold or somebody else that you didn't have to give draft capital up for. And you're going to give Geno potentially like an extension. And I guess, like, you know, Pete Carroll, I guess the familiarity with Geno and what he wants, you know, I guess makes some sense because I'm going to get my guy. But I mean, those are some of the weird trades that go on here right now. It's like, okay, the Raiders, you didn't want to consider something else in free agency like there, but another but for the Seahawks, my bigger point with that, Rome, was like, year two of a head coaching and I'm making this quarterback change already when I had a fairly successful year under Geno. That's I think the questions, but it seems like, hey, we're completely turning over a whole new leaf because we're getting rid of DK. Everything's going with Jackson Smith and Jigma from an offensive standpoint. Now you're going to have, you know, Darnold come in. So you're wiping the slate clean, but it turns into a different team. But you mentioned this, I think, at dinner, not in the pod, but it was like, you know, teams that don't have quarterbacks or spending in free agency or making trades. And yeah. I think what you're speaking to now is like, I don't think anyone really has faith in this quarterback class.
That's what any like, of them, yeah.
That anyone's really going to be, because you already hear is Shedeur Sanders dropping down. Cam Ward seems to be like the number one pick they're going with, but I don't think anyone's super infatuated with the pick, whether it's, you know, Tennessee or Cleveland, people have talked about for him. So, yeah, I didn't understand the trade, but I guess for Seattle, you're probably looking at some cap stuff. Darnold looked good. You get some capital for Geno if Aaron's saying he wasn't going to sign the extension, Aaron, or whatever like that. So if that's it, that's what you move on.
Yeah, I know Geno wanted the 45 to 50 million range. He said, if I'm not going to get it, trade me. They trade him. No one else knew about this, but he gets traded to the Vegas Raiders. Me and you, Jason, we talked about this. This is a long-term build, you know? They got the Patriots of the West, too, trying to build this thing with Tom Brady. But then I'm talking with Aaron. I'm like, dude, their coach is old as fuck. It's Pete Carroll. It's fucking Grandpa Carroll. Like, he wants to win now. And so now you got these players that they're bringing in trying to win now, because obviously Geno Smith, he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's definitely like one of the better ones. He's been pretty consistent. Like, he's a fighter. He's like tough as nails. You don't bring him just to play 500 ball. You're last in division, but you're playing Denver, the Chargers, and KC in your division. That's a tough-ass division. It makes no sense, really.
Which is different, you know, a little bit if you think about how Pete Carroll was building the Seahawks when he left USC. You know, he went and signed Matt Flynn but then drafted Russell Wilson late. And so he had the quarterback on the cheap, but they were able to get, you know, Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman late in the draft and Bobby Wagner and all these guys. Like, you built all these great pieces on defense and had some skill positions you play, but you got on the quarterback cheap. Now, if you're going to the Raiders, hey, you're going to trade capital to get Geno, have the higher end contract. And then they paid Crosby, a boatload of money too.
A lot of money.
And so when you're thinking roster construction now, this is different than the way Pete did it before when he first got to Seattle. When you're talking that long-term short-term thing, okay, yeah, they're going to win now, but like, what's the setup? What's the quarterback succession plan? Did you spend too much in these certain areas? Do you have enough draft capital to start like rebuilding a team that didn't have, they got Bowers, on offense. So, what's the rest of the offensive plan going to look like around Geno? I think just a lot of question marks in the roster construction in a division that, man, just like you talk about the Chiefs, probably a little regression there, maybe, but then the Broncos and Chargers, this is maybe their worst year under their two coaches, probably. You only expect those two teams to get better.
Yeah, the Raiders needed to do something. Aiden O'Connell, wasn't winning football games. They won, what, 4 games last year? And I talked about this 2 weeks ago. Pete Carroll is basically going to be 74 years old when the season starts. He's not looking to do a rebuild. Tom Brady doesn't know the meaning of rebuild. All he's done is ever win wherever he's gone. These guys want to win now. That's the goal. That's what they want. And Geno gives them somewhat of a shot. They got Bowers, rookie of the year, good tight end. Jacoby Myers, I like. They've got to upgrade the offensive line, add another wide receiver. Who knows? Cooper Kupp's going to get released here. Does he go there to the Raiders? Be a good fit in the slot with those guys. And defensive line, their defensive line is really good. They got Crosby, Wilkins or Watkins out of Miami, who missed most of last year. They just re-signed another guy from their team. So their defensive line is really good. Their secondary is not great. Their linebackers aren't great. I know they signed a safety today, lost one of their corners to the Packers in Hobbs. But Pete Carroll and the new GM there and Tom Brady, we imagine that they're going to be a smarter team in the front offense and how they draft, how they scout players, how they recruit the free agency. Surprisingly, they've been in Vegas for a while now, 5, 6 years, really haven't gotten any big free agents to come there yet. Be interested to see how that goes. And Geno Smith, it would have been nice for them to get Stafford. I know that's who they really, really wanted. They made a push at it. Stafford kind of looked at the team and was like, I don't want to go there. But even with Geno Smith, he's still the 4th best quarterback in that division. You could argue Pete Carroll's the 4th best coach in that division. So it's a very, very difficult division to win in. And the Raiders, as constructed right now, they go from probably 4 wins, 6 or 7 they're looking at right now. They're still not a wild card team, in my opinion.
That's tough. I don't know what to expect from that division. I got KC, it's just unofficial here, ballparking. KC maybe drops down to 12, 13 wins. LA Chargers add another win or two. Maybe they have a chance to take that division. Broncos, I think they overachieved this year. Maybe they stick around. 10, 9, 8 wins again. Tough season coming up. Vegas, can they creep up to the 9, 10 win range with all these changes? Is that what they're thinking? Speaking of changes, Pittsburgh, they let Najee Harris walk. He goes to Chargers. They sign Metcalf. They let Fields walk. Fields is like, you know what? I do believe in myself. I want to go start somewhere. I'm going to go start with the Jets and go ruin my career there. All right. Congratulations. We still have no quarterback. We lost left tackle to the Commanders. What's their train of thought here? All right. That was quick. Next team.
Oh, we're talking about your Steelers, Rome?
Yeah, asshole.
I was waiting for you to break it down. You gave me like 10
minutes. Breaking out shit.
I was sending you all the updates, man. You were freaking out.
Yeah, he started sending updates, Saturday night or Sunday night. And Rome was like, Roma's like, if it's not a quarterback, I'm not interested. And now the quarterback seems or appears to be none other than the great A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers, maybe going there.
A-Rod hasn't looked great in half a fucking decade. And I believe I sent you the text, guys. I said, oh, man.
Where is it? Pull it up.
I don't need a heart attack on a Sunday. No news about the Steelers unless it's getting us Josh Allen and a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
almost shit my pants with the Darnold tweet.
Rome, as soon as you mention Josh Allen, he then signs a record contract like 5 minutes after that tweet, that text comes out, $250 million guaranteed by the Bills.
You know, we didn't even talk about that. That's like, it wasn't necessary for him
and
to sign
that. And
they
signed, the Bills did some interesting things. We didn't talk about them. They released Von Miller, signed Joshua Palmer of the Chargers.
Yeah.
So they're making some moves. Cooper Kupp would actually be really nice there, or Josh Allen, too. They go really that nice. Route.
Let's first, Von Miller, he had an up and down time there. He was good in moments, but I totally understand that drop. You know, he's coming towards the end of this thing. Josh Allen, they didn't need to do it now. But then again, there's always like tension creating, like when you're having a quarterback or a coach on their last year or two. They have the space to do it, and it kind of knocks it out of the way, and it still gives them flexibility moving forward because they already gave him a shitload of guaranteed money. It doesn't really hit them that much because he could have been averaging a lot more per year, but now it's not because they gave him so much up front. Kind of a good move. They're honestly not going to go anywhere without him.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, I think Jerry Jones should take a page from the Bills book. If you can pay a guy and pay him early before the cap and everything and these guys start wanting more money, it's best to do it now.
Oh, yeah, Jerry Jones is fucked because now he has to pay Micah Parsons. But or look at the Bengals, rather. You know, now they got a few guys. They got a few guys on defense. They got Chase. They got TJ. They got
they did sign five guys on defense today, though, the Bengals. None of the big people that they were intended to sign, but they did make five signings today.
I don't care because I'm a Steelers fan. I do like Joe Burrow, though. I do on the win. But...
Well, what's going on with the Hendrickson trade?
Yeah, he's got permission to seek a trade, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, around in Chicago, everyone was saying like they need to go trade for him, but I don't know. At the end of the day, he's a free agent after the year, so you're only trading for him and giving up assets if you're getting the extension, which he's going to demand.
Yeah,
top end rusher money.
Let's speak about Myles Garrett too, man. We totally skipped over that. This guy said he wanted to leave. Was pretty adamant about it. Was pretty public about it. He wanted a meeting with the owner. Owner said, "Go fuck yourself. Go talk to the GM." He goes, talks to the GM, and then we wake up to see that he just signed the richest contract in NFL history. Pretty amazing. Hey, you might not like being here, but you're going to like the money that we're giving you. Biggest contract besides Deshaun Watson. How are they affording this, by the way?
I mean, you'd be sick. I mean, there's the cap. You're just not going to be able to sign anybody else. You know, they paid Deshaun Watson and him.
Like, you're looking at that division, man. Like, everyone's going to rebound. You got to imagine Bengals going to rebound. Hey, Ravens might have it down here.
Rome, you haven't even talked about the big quarterback trade the Browns made today. Trading for your guy, Kenny Pickett, man. So, I mean, literally, the Browns are making moves. Not necessarily right. But, yeah, basically, Myles Garrett was like, hey, dude, I want out of town. They showed him the money, and money talks, and bullshit obviously gets quiet when the money talks.
Yeah, there's rumors that the Browns allegedly have a plan in place to replace Deshaun Watson and bring a Super Bowl capable winning quarterback to bring that team back to the playoffs. And I'm thinking, like, who the hell is that? Russell Wilson?
I don't know. I think if you're the Browns, we talked about it a million times. Like, what do they have? Two more guaranteed years? They got to sit with that contract. Like, I think Cam Ward probably has been talked about the most. I think realistically, like, you got to get a cheap quarterback at this point that maybe has some upside like Cam Ward versus trying to sign some sort of veteran. I mean, I don't know. That team's completely lost.
Well, the problem is the Titans have the first pick. So
Cam Ward's
they've
going
given
there.
No, they've given no indication about them at quarterback though, which is crazy because.
I mean, I did hear Russell Wilson they were interested in.
I want to see more Will Levis. I don't know what the Titans are doing. I'm thoroughly entertained by a Titans Will Levis quarterback.
I don't know
game.
What was more entertaining, Will Levis's Mayo commercials or his on field play, because that's a toss up. That really is a toss up.
I don't know. I think Levis is done.
I mean, if you're Brian Callahan, yeah, you're probably saying that, yeah.
Well, he's done too. Bad hire. We'll see. Any other NFL news you guys want to touch on?
I know we didn't talk about on here Devontae Adams. Nice signing there by the Rams.
That's okay. He got paid. He got overpaid, but it's good.
It was interesting. He wasn't paired with Rodgers wherever he was going. I guess he wanted to remain on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it last week. Rodgers was linked to the Rams, and then Stafford pulled the plug on the move to the Raiders. So, yeah, that kind of scrapped that idea.
Well, Stafford's best chance to compete for a championship was a team just like the Rams. So, nowhere to go. I feel like we're missing something.
I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot.
A lot of trades, a lot of signings. We'll see what happens, man. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot to talk about coming up.
I mean, the big trade, I guess, would have been the Texans tackle getting traded to the Commanders. They gave up a lot for him.
Commanders have been loading up, man. That kind
of
makes
sense. They
have
a lot of cap space, the Commanders. And this goes back to what Jason's been saying, like, quarterbacks, good quarterbacks on rookie contracts, like the time to win and the window to win is now. I mean, Pete Carroll made it pretty famous with Russell Wilson. Put some good pieces around him, and you got a good quarterback. You can win a Super Bowl and get back to another one. So, yeah, this is the formula that teams have kind of been copying since Seattle and Pete Carroll and those guys did it, you know, a decade back.
Yeah, Commanders are loading a little too much to my liking. You know, it's fun to see a team turn around and you're like, you're happy for them to make the playoffs. But now it's getting like, all right, stay back in your lane. You know, my team has to win too. And it's making me a little comfortable. All right. Let's take a quick break unless you guys got something else. NBA when we get back. Blouses. All right, we're back from break. We're going to try to keep this short because I'm losing steam. The BJ's dinner that we all had, it's putting Uncle Ron to bed pretty fast.
Hey, good BJ, I put you to bed right away, if you know what I mean.
it's true, though.
No lie, man. That's no lie.
The world would probably be a better place if there was like one more BJ. Yeah. Imagine Hitler.
I tell you, Rome, you know, you're up in San Francisco in the city, you know, living that busy city life. Now, like me and Aaron out in the burbs, man, you come down here into the Inland Empire, you know, not like the hustle bustle of the city, and you can't hang past 11 here right now, man.
It's too quiet. I feel like I'm in Yellowstone right now, just watching the trees in the skies, trying to fight for something that everybody wants.
We like land down here, buddy. We like our land.
You guys like chain restaurants. That's what you guys like.
Hey, it's, man, you've been giving them free publicity all night, man.
And you got your meal paid, and this is how you talk? Damn, bro.
Hey, man, I didn't get a pizookie, though.
You go back. They're still open.
I've got to go back. Oh, I'm done. That pizookie would have, like, I'd have been gassing up a snowstorm here with all that lactose, whatever it is called. I found out I'm definitely lactose intolerant the other day. I bought a Starbucks mocha frappuccino coffee because it had like 300 milligrams, so it was extra strength. It had protein, allegedly. Like, I need some protein. I don't got a shake with me. Bought it as I was picking up my daughter on Friday. 5 minutes in, Westbrook was hanging on the front seat. This guy takes off. This guy's like, I hang out with you. The BMW was not good. It was not in good shape, dude. I had to air that thing out. I had the sunroof open, the windows down, going 90 on the highway. And I'm like, you know what? I think there's milk in this thing. It didn't go well.
Don't you ask for no milk?
No, it was a gas station thing. I just figured it had protein. By the way, if you're advertising protein in a shake or like in a drink, have more than 10 grams of protein at least. 6 grams is not like anything to promote about.
So he finds that he's lactose intolerant, but he's talking about a damn Pizookie that has ice cream.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. All right. NBA
so
talk.
I won't make you a protein shake with my glass of milk with it tomorrow.
I don't fucking want your protein shake with a glass of milk. Definitely not. I'll do it with water like a normal person.
I can't do it with water, man.
You can't do it with water? Do you do your hot chocolate with milk too? I made my nephew's hot chocolate without milk. I did it with water, and my sister asked me, do you do it with milk? I'm like, no. I do it with water.
I always did it with milk, and I haven't had hot chocolate in forever, but yeah, I would do it with milk with some marshmallows and whipped cream in there.
Marshmallows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do marshmallows, but I do it with water, man. You know, you get the little Keurig, man. You know, I don't drink coffee and stuff, but you get the Christmas time and you put the little Keurig cup. It adds water. You
like
put some marshmallows.
When you do your oatmeal, do you do it with water or milk?
I do water.
I do milk.
Well, I know I'm lactose intolerant, so I'd be dangerous game like Rome driving everywhere, you know, having to put the windows down.
And right now is a good time to have the windows down. It's not too warm, not too cold, but yeah, you got to be careful come summertime because.
Yeah, when I picked up my daughter, she's such a sweet girl, man. Because she didn't even blink an eye, dude. She just like was a
team player. You know, if her eyes are watering, then you really hit the spot.
No kid has ever wanted to get to school faster.
I was just totally cool. She's like, it stinks. All right, NBA. Big games this past weekend. Lakers lost back-to-back, first to the Celtics on Saturday, and then to the Nets today. Not a big deal in my eyes. I figured they were due for a loss anyways. I thought they might lose to the Celtics. Celtics came out guns blazing, wanting to win. They got their ass kicked in the previous matchup, so I thought they might come back with a vengeance. Lakers were missing three of their starters in that game. Some pretty big integral pieces, including Rui, Jackson, and
LeBron
eventually went out in the fourth quarter, but that was already
the Boston game.
Yeah, but like they were already down by 20 in the third quarter, so it really didn't matter. But LeBron had a pretty bad what's that called?
Rowing?
No, when you fake flopping over.
Like a flop.
A flop. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flop. Yeah.
It's a long night. Break.
It was an all timer, man. He's up there with some of the great soccer ones of all time.
No one touched him. I forgot who was driving on him. He was on the perimeter on the left hand side. They drive by him. They make a move, like a sweeping move, but nothing hits him. The elbow misses him by a considerable amount of space. He flops over, falls down, stays down for the count. As Boston scores the basket and they take it out and they start driving down the other side. And it was just like, God damn it, dude. Like, this is why no one's ever going to consider you greater than Jordan. At least not for me. And granted, I'm having a new appreciation for LeBron because he's playing phenomenal. Like, no one has played this good in their 40s. Like, it's just nonstop. Like, these fadeaways that, like, Kobe used to make in his prime before he tore the Achilles. The defense he's doing, he's killing it, man. But it was a bad flop, and then he got the groin injury, and then they didn't show up against the Nets. So they have the all-white Laker team out tonight, and they disappointed.
You're not going to win the NBA with an all-white team, Rome. I can tell you that right
it's
now.
It's a good white team, though.
Hey, I was a good white player, bro, and I'm sitting here doing this pod. So what does that tell you? Another thing that's crazy, Rome, we talk about LeBron's career. I don't know how many total points he's up to, like 38, 39, 40,000 regular season. I'm not talking postseason. I just saw a big thing for Steph Curry crossing 25,000. Think about it. He just hit 25,000 and LeBron's almost at, what, 40? That's insane. Insane, man. I thought Curry was at least at like 30K, but
well,
yeah.
Well, Steph's almost at 4,000 threes.
Yeah, think about that. Just threes alone. He's still that far behind LeBron. I mean, obviously he doesn't shoot as many free throws or does as much flopping, but yeah, that's crazy.
Do you guys put much stock into the Lakers losing against the Celtics and Brooklyn tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you don't got LeBron.
They were the number two seed. Now they're not number three. If they lose two more games, they'll drop down to the number four or five seed. Do you think they'll drop down to the five seed?
I think a lot of people were saying that as much as the Lakers were talking to you, this is a four or five seed team that's a second round exit. But at the end of the day, we said this last time, does it really matter because is anyone beating the Thunder?
I think Lakers can.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's hard to say what the Lakers are because technically their full piece lineup, they played, what, maybe three or four games together? I mean, Rui's been out three or four games. Luka, he's played, what, 12 games, missed one game. LeBron's now out. Austin Reeves missed, what, three games because of a calf strain. I mean, the Lakers played well. We talked about it, but their schedule was soft. They were all home games. Now they're on a road trip. They're 0-2.
It was a lot of home games.
Now they've got the Bucks on the road, probably going to lose. Then they go at Denver. That was their biggest road win with Luka like 2.5 weeks ago when Luka like was Luka and showed up and balled out for 30 points. And then everybody was like, well, maybe the Lakers are for real. And they ran off another six in a row. I mean, everybody's close. I mean, really, really, if you're looking at right now between the 2 seed and the 7 seed, you're talking 5 games or less. And the Lakers now, theoretically, LeBron's going to miss a week or two, probably likely 2 weeks because you want to make sure he's right. You don't want to rush him
back. They're not dropping 4 games, dude. That's ridiculous.
So you think they're not? They lose to the Bucks and they lose to the Nuggets. All of a sudden, they're at 25 losses. That pits them in the 5th or 6th seed right then.
Yeah, they're not going to drop.
Well, I mean, let's look at their schedule.
They didn't even
This is their schedule. They got the Bucks, Nuggets. They get the Suns, Spurs, Nuggets, Bucks, Bulls. Then they're at Magic, at Pacers, at Bulls, at Memphis, followed by a quick turnaround of the Rockets. That's a tough schedule. They got one of the tougher schedules in the year, yeah. The final 19
But
games.
They've been doing this all year long, and that's why they're a good team, because they have been doing this all year round.
We'll see. I mean, I kind of tend to agree with Jason. I thought if the Lakers got to the Western Conference Final, that would be a great season, but they're likely, depending health-wise, they maybe win a playoff series, and that's about it. But we'll see when they match up.
Now you guys have jumped out really fast. Jesus Christ, it was just last pod. You guys were saying that they can, you know, go deep, and now they're a second round.
I think if they're a healthy team, maybe they're top five, but Luka seems to be, I don't know, he was hobbled.
Yeah, they're still getting back in shape. That's okay.
I'm not going to say I didn't say that, but I don't recall saying this team was going to win a championship or anything like that. Like they got better and they stole the trade, but I still think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot beyond Luka and LeBron and a few other pieces on this roster that just don't match up with Oklahoma City or even Denver. I know maybe the Lakers have had a little bit of a Jokic number a little bit, but still, I mean, he's been putting some monster numbers up recently. What was the game he had the other day? It was like a 30, 20, and 20.
First in NBA history.
Yeah, I would like to talk about how we count assists in the NBA now.
Is it changed or something?
I think it has changed significantly, yeah.
Don't you pass the ball to the guy and he scores the point, you get an assist?
In a traditional sense, yes, that would be an assist. You're absolutely right. In the NBA today, if you pass, let's say you pass to Aaron. Aaron's at the corner of the key. He dribbles outside to the corner of the court and then dribbles back inside for a layup. Doesn't pass the ball. That is still an assist.
Okay. That's an assist in hockey, too. There's no change in possession.
Are you fucking me?
No, that's just what an assist is in hockey, too. I don't know what you're fucking talking
and
about.
I told Rome I would like to see the hockey assist brought into the NBA. Like, if you're literally running a fast break, the guy that gets the rebound throws it to the guy ahead, should all be part of assist.
Hockey, you, maybe.
You know a goalie can get an assist, right?
No.
A goalie can pass the puck to somebody, a defenseman or a winger. Then the winger passes it to one of the other offensive guys. Guy scores. Two assists on the play. It could be the goalie and the defenseman.
Yeah. That's all right.
And that's the complete end of the ice. So, yeah. I don't get your point here. Are you not going to
ball? You can't dribble the ball six times and count into the assist. I think you have to
No, you can't dribble six times. I don't think you can dribble six times, but did they really dribble six times, or are we just over-exaggerating?
No, we're not.
Like, I think you probably get two, maybe, dribbles, maybe three. It depends. I mean, as long as you're on a direct path and you get a pass, you should be able, and they don't have to change direction, it should be an assist. Like, if I throw it to you from out of bounds to the three-point line, it's going to take me at least two dribbles to get to the key. Now, a guy like Giannis could do it in one, but that should all be an assist.
Jesus Christ.
We really upset Rome. I didn't realize assist was going to be the breaking point here.
Yeah,
I think Rome doesn't want to give credit to the first ever 30-20-20 game ever.
No, I like the Joker. I just don't like the way we count assists anymore.
Well, I think it's hard for to really give anyone credit for this guy because I think aesthetically no one understands this is like one of the greatest players of all time, and he doesn't give a crap. And he doesn't give a crap about basketball at all.
That's what I like about him.
It's like, yeah, I'm just really good at this, but get me back to the horses.
Dude, if he was in the Dallas Mavericks, they would have traded him 2 years ago, so. This guy likes drinking beer.
Nothing wrong with drinking a good beer. He's drinking one tonight in OKC. That's a nice win for them.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong. But if you're in the Mavericks, they might think that's something wrong.
This is what you could say about. I don't think the Mavs have a problem if you drink a beer. You just can't miss like a third of the year every year. Like, one thing about Joker, like, the dude does not miss games. He may look like he's laboring, but I think he's one of the better shaped guys in the league. He's playing in altitude and Mile High there in Denver. Like, I think he's in really good shape. He's just not crazy athletic. It doesn't fit the mold of like your average everyday player.
Some guys are just a John Daly, you know, man. You no matter what you're doing, man, you get up and crank that ball 320.
Yeah. Take a shot and he's ready to go.
Yeah. Luka does get hacked a lot though.
He does a lot of flopping too, Luka. But he does get fouled a lot.
I think where you go in this, I think the concern of the teams, and LeBron, to his credit, has probably broken the mold a lot with this too because of what he invests in his body and the health he's had his entire career and how many games he's played and longevity. Like, he is putting a ton in science, like, into everything he eats and what he does and goes into it. And, like, Tom Brady's another probably aspect of that too. Like, Tom Brady hasn't had, like, anything beyond, you know, five things in the last 20 years to get him just an insane shape to, you know, be on the field. And I think it's a different level of dedication besides, hey, relying on your 20s and no matter what you drink or what you do or whatever, you're going to go into shape. At a certain point, it's going to catch up to you. And then you get into your 30s and, you know, I know I didn't feel as good, you know, get into my 30s and, you know, the legs weren't moving just as good and you're not going to be able to bounce back from, you know, Rome having a few cocktails tonight and going to put him to bed here at 11 o'clock. You know, it's just you're just a little bit different. And I think that's where when you talk about the second contract, I'm not condoning the Mavericks trade at all. But I do think there's a level of stuff I've seen teams are going to expect once you get in your career of how do you get on the court? How do you play the games? How are you going to be dependable? And some of these smaller things, you know, potentially add up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially when we talk about age, if you're already kind of 26, injury prone a little bit, out of shape prone.
Who's out of shape?
We're talking Luka.
Luka's not out of shape.
Well, it depends on who you listen to. Dallas says he's out of shape.
Dallas are idiots.
So
we established this.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
how can you average what Luka averages being out of shape in the NBA? If he's out of shape now, imagine once he gets into shape. That's dangerous.
it's less about shape. It's more, it's the longevity of how many games he's going to put in a season, because I'm getting hurt and then I'm playing myself back into shape. And what's the ramp every year? Are you getting the most out of this guy? How many games is he playing per year? I think that's the concern. It's the risk you take, but I think it's a smart risk for the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about games played, but the same injuries Lucas had, he continues to have. And Dallas has kind of basically said, like, fix the problem, and he hasn't. Like, you can't have the same calf hurting you three straight seasons and you missing multiple games. But why? Why is he having this problem? Why isn't he not doing something to fix it? Did they give him something to do to the doctors? I don't know. I mean, Dallas right now is throwing Luka under the bus like no other. Like, every week they leak something new that's, like, negative about him, whether or not you want to believe it.
That's why it's stupid.
So, you know, the last excuse was he likes to smoke hookah, right? Okay. Luka likes the hookah,
yeah,
right?
Who cares?
Who cares, exactly. But, you know, he's been banged up in the playoffs a lot. Knees, calves. He looked a little sore, slow against Boston in the first half. You mentioned Romy warmed up. His numbers today against Brooklyn sucked.
He's still coming back from 3 months off.
Yeah. But, Dallas basically put a plan in front of him. He got hurt again, and they said, screw it. We're not going to pay you. We're going to cost you money.
Yeah. Well, I think he fucked up. I think it's really bad. I think Dallas never recovers from this.
It's going to be a while.
It's a game.
And I think, Rome, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but have we kind of mentioned, conspiracy theory or not, that they want to sabotage the organization so they can move it?
I think it's in play.
Because obviously the price of the tickets are going up almost 8 to 10%. Kyrie's now hurt. AD's hurt. The fans are in uproar. There's no better time now since you don't have the backing of the fan base in the community.
Expansion is next year.
It's easy to move now.
They're going to try to propose taking the Vegas spot. They sell the expansion.
And the arena's already built. So.
It just freaks. Something's fishy. Doesn't make any sense.
Is that the new segment, Aaron's NBA conspiracy theories?
This guy's fucking full of them, dude. You should really hear him. Put another margarita in him. And he'll have political conspiracy theories, too.
I would say the weirdest thing about that is I'm pretty sure the Adelson family, which bought that because they used to own the Venetian and the Palazzo and stuff. Right. They don't own Vegas properties anymore.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, I'd get the tie in if they had the casinos there and they're making a full, you know, kind of a full portfolio out in Vegas, but moving them back there, I guess that's the tie that I can't link back to them.
I think the NBA and why they don't or sold out that is the NBA does not want that tied to an ownership group. Remember the Malus of the Kings on the Palms, they wanted to make the move. They would not allow the NBA. I think the NBA does not want anything because they don't want us, even though the games are rigged to a degree, they don't want that being the topic of discussion.
Rigged to a degree.
Absolutely, man. There's always games fixed.
Dallas is just such a weird market to take a team away, though. Just like
I agree.
Is that a top 10 media market in the country?
Yeah. Top 10.
I'd argue if the Cowboys weren't there, Dallas really isn't that big of a market. I mean, Texas as a state is huge, but
it's populated. Dallas and Houston are like some of the biggest metropolitan areas.
Yeah, like Houston was seen as like the number four market behind Chicago.
LA. Yeah, Chicago is like third, maybe second.
It's New York, LA, Chicago, then Houston.
Then Houston, probably Dallas after that, or not far off. I can't think of a bigger city besides that. Even Boston's kind of small. Boston's like the same size as San Francisco, so like you're, I don't know. But San Francisco's different. It's like the whole Bay Area. That's
Dallas, according to this, Dallas-Fort Worth is the number four media market.
Okay.
So I mean
that's huge.
That's a huge one to take a team out, and I don't.
What's San Francisco?
San Francisco's 10. It's wow. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose is one big market.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to count the whole thing. That's crazy.
Do you have New York, LA, Chicago.
Let me tell you, dude, the Bay is so populated. The fact that that's number 10.
Well, I mean, it's just not, it's, I mean, it's talking like media markets. So just different things, but you got Chicago, Dallas, Fort Worth, Philly, Houston, Atlanta, Washington, DC, Boston, then the Bay, then Tampa, St. Petersburg, then Phoenix, Seattle, Detroit, and then Orlando.
It's basically 15. Nobody after 10. Got it.
I mean, those are still, I mean, Phoenix is up and coming. Tampa, St. Pete's a little different.
Yeah, St. Pete's a little different.
Sacramento, Stockton, Modesto as the number 20 media market.
That makes sense. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, so, it is pretty bad.
But I mean, I guess that's the pin when I say you're telling Dallas, Fort Worth, number 4 media market in the country. Why am I taking away an NBA franchise?
It makes no sense.
Why would you not just do an expansion team in Vegas versus moving a team and then what? They're going to do an expansion team back into Dallas?
Well, the theory is
that
they would move the team from Dallas to Vegas, but the expansion team would be awarded to Dallas, but Dallas gets to keep all the history of the old Mavericks. It's really stupid, dude. This is dumb. This is dumb. Well, this is what happened to the Browns.
I'd rather have them do what they did, if you remember the Jeffrey Loria and from the Expos to where the owners of the Marlins went and bought the Red Sox, and the owners of the Expos, Jeffrey Loria, went and bought the Marlins, and then the Expos went to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It was like a whole transfer of like they were just trading teams. So like why wouldn't this group that owns the Mavericks just be awarded the franchise and they just buy the team and then someone buy them? I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to just, oh, I'm going to move this team, award the franchise. I'm sure there's a bunch of business crap and things. And it just seems weird that they went and bought this team from Cuban just to move it, when it's like, hey, you can move the team to get you can just get the expansion rights up front. I don't know.
Real quick, I know we went like hella like off topic. Mavericks did pick up a big win today, 133-129 against the Spurs. Standings as it is right now,
I think they got a 3-game lead, right, for the 10 spot.
3-game lead.
Let me see. Yeah.
3-game lead, 2.5 games for the 10th seed, 33-33, 500. Phoenix, do they make the push for the 10th seed? They're under 500 in the last 10 games. I know Aaron was rooting for the Portland Trail Blazers, picking them to make the 10th seed.
It got a brutal schedule, man.
Looking very outside in right now.
Actually, I'm looking, dude. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They got 7 straight home games coming up.
They got 20 games to make up a 6-game stretch.
It's going to be tough. They got 7 straight home games coming up. We'll see how they fare in that.
Only the Lakers did that like 2 years ago. That was disgusting. They didn't deserve it.
They got a tough 7-game home stretch coming up, but it's always tough to play at the old Rose Garden. I don't know what it's called.
Does Phoenix sneak in for the 10th seed? Are we going to wager on that? Or are we going to like hedge that bet now? It's looking pretty interesting. Dallas, they're floating. 3-7.
At the end of the day, does it really matter?
You know what? They'll probably play Golden State or the Clippers in the first round of the tournament, right? Play-in tournament?
I think the Warriors aren't going to the play-in tournament, dude. They're going to finish in the top 6.
I think Minnesota overtakes them.
No. That's not happening.
I don't think the top 5 don't change at all.
I think the Warriors are going to get in the top 5.
No chance.
I think they're going to... I think the Warriors might get in even the top 4.
Top 4?
That's only 4 games out.
They
were like 9 games out like 2 weeks ago. They've lost 1 game with Jimmy Butler.
It's ridiculous. They're over too.
And look at dude, they're starting. They're on a 1-2-3-4-5-6-7 game homestand. They're probably going to go 6-1 in this homestand. They're already 2-0.
I gotta go catch a home game. All right,
it's interesting, but yeah, I mean, what are they 10-1 with Butler when he's in the lineup?
We'll wrap up the basketball section here. Congratulations, UCLA Bruins, on defeating the USC Trojans in the women's Big Ten championship tourney this past weekend. Me and my daughter watched it. She was not really enthused. She doesn't like watching women's basketball. Go figure. She'll watch every other women's sport, but not that. She says it's boring, as she quotes.
100% agree, bro. So,
I don't know what to think of that.
I 100% agree,
to play
bro.
Basketball. She says, it's boring, daddy. I'm like, well, dude, just like, this girl's really good. She's really pretty. Look at her play with the ponytail. It's not working, though. It's falling on deaf ears on my five-year-old daughter. So, but anyways, congrats to UCLA Bruins. And March Madness is going to be pretty fun for the men and the women's. Both start in a couple weeks. We're going to do our own bracket tournament online. We're going to promote it.
The tournament starts technically a week from tomorrow, Rome.
God damn it, dude. What the fuck? All right. We're going to try to get our shit together so we can put
up. So don't worry. A bracket will be available for printout Sunday afternoon.
All right. It's all right. We're going to try to do something on that platform that I shared with you guys. We're going to do it a tournament. Do a buy-in, winner take all, or whatever. I don't know.
All right, just the three of us? We can just do that on the side, man. That way we don't have to...
We can do something outside. On the side, but we're going to invite people in. $10 buy-in
people per
bracket.
In.
Come on.
I like
on.
It. The winner doesn't get paid. They just get to make an appearance on this fucking show.
And a pie in
consider,
the face.
Consider it lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, we got all these basketball heavy hitters you guys always talk about that haven't been on the pod. So, you know, maybe they can bring some knowledge.
I mean, Rome got a first-hand talk.
They won't make it, yeah. I just hear a lot of talk.
Rome, we just did an off-air pod with Nick basically about 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago.
This guy has some really strong theories. By the way, it makes sense why Aaron spews some of this bullshit here on the podcast. Him and Nick talk about these things that I'm like, where did this topic come from? On the podcast.
Hey, man, just working sources every which way, dude. Just talking and breaking down stories, news, information.
It's a hell of a source. Now I know when you're acting like a little spicy, it could be the curry.
Absolutely. I'm going for 25K episodes, bro. What am I at right now, 50? I got a ways to go.
We're good, right?
All right, too bad it's not up on the fucking show yet, but...
Quick break. All right, we said a quick break. Aaron's nervous. He's sweating. He wants to talk UFC. He didn't even give us a heads up, guys.
Bro, you didn't even give me a chance to fucking adjust my nuts and scratch myself there, dude. We just went right back into it.
Well,
I can't cover it for you, Aaron. Since we went to dinner, I couldn't watch Monday Night Raw. I don't know what happened at Madison Square Garden tonight.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you record Monday Night Raw? Or how's that go over there?
It's on Netflix now, man. You just go now and click it's ready to go. But you had CM Punk versus Seth Rollins in a steel cage at Madison Square Garden tonight.
I did see that headline on when he woke up after hearing the steel cage. Even the dog gets excited with the wrestling.
The dog just woke up, dude. You guys just woke up the dog.
UFC wrestling, the dog is ready to rock and roll.
Ready to go. Combat sports.
It's like, what's going on here, man?
Yeah. Right on, man. Yeah, I did see CBS did have a headline like that was going down. CM Punk still cage. Yeah, we'll see. We'll get the breakdown Thursday night when we get into F1 Formula One Australian Grand Prix. So we got a lot coming up still on the pod this week.
Yeah, and just so people know, we might be playing with like a weekly WWE segment coming up soon. So it's a matter of Jason wants to get on board. Man, it's a matter of
Jason's got a contract for that.
Aaron needs a. We all need to get some props, and then we're all in.
Jason's ready to go, but it sounds like we got F1, and we're getting a Monday Night Raw recap on Thursday. It sounds like it's just a solo show for me.
Probably.
Well, we'll have some new NFL free agency stuff. So we'll get a segment in here.
We'll get a beer in. Me and Errol will just kick back and drink.
Per appearance, I do have like 1,000 words I have to say per appearance. That's in my contract. So I'll figure that out.
I'll bring you in. I mean, Aaron's ready to talk F1. I know he's got it.
Yeah, I'll be on it.
He'll ask we'll
go over odds. We'll go over who we think is going to win this season. I'll get the numbers ready.
Aaron's going to drop it. Hey, what's up with your guy Hamilton? What's he doing with Ferrari? Hey,
Hamilton's my boy. He's my boy now, dude. He came over to Ferrari. He's with me now.
No.
He's like a heel. He turned, bro. Hold on. He turned.
The Aaron equivalent of like going like, hey, what's up with Hamilton is the same as like a guy going to a crazy girl. Oh, that's crazy. Tell me more.
Hamilton's my man now, dude.
It is the heel turn. Going to Ferrari is the equivalent of like going to the Yankees. Like yes. You are going to the Yankees of Formula One.
Speaking of the Yankees, before we get in the UFC, Garrett Cole out for the season. Tommy John.
Dunzo.
Tommy John strikes again.
Their season's done.
Good. I can't stand the Yankees anyways.
Good pitcher. I like them. I like the Yankees. I don't mind them. Just not against my Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't root for the Dodgers very often, but, you know, the Yankees have they've scarred me for life, so I'm glad to see him losing a World Series. I'm not going to lie.
You're talking so much shit in the World Series. I told you
the Dodgers are going to win. They just fucked me, the Yankees, because they didn't get to at least 6 games that I'd lost some money on.
Before the World Series started, you had them winning at 5. After game 1, you had them losing in 7.
Who?
You, I believe.
Nah, go back. I had to go back and listen to the fucking thing, dude. I told you the Dodgers are going to win in 6 or 7.
You and Jason have done yourselves quite a few heels on this podcast.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
On my Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of the evil empire, you know.
No, they just got. Well, this game started, dude. Just
and,
like,
you know, Dave Roberts got a contract extension, so now I got to see his ass for the fucking bench till 2028.
Dodgers are not the evil empire. They just got started. It's not until they win 3 or 4, then you guys can start talking shit. Right? Yeah.
They've only really won 1, so I'm okay with that.
All right, so then we're good.
All right. UFC 313.
Aaron,
recap.
Just recap. What is
it? Just a quick one. We'll go over the main card here. I mean, I know you guys didn't watch it, but one of the craziest knockouts in UFC history, Mauricio Rufi over King Green, Bobby King Green, as he used to be known, with a spinning wheel kick. If you haven't seen it, you got to pull it up. Crazy. Just out of nowhere with a wheel kick, knocks him out. Basically, heel to the temple, out. Cold dude just got pit to sleep round 1. If you haven't ever watched Mauricio Rufi, if you're familiar with Conor McGregor, this is like a carbon copy, same stance, kind of almost the same fighter, replicates him, except this one's from Brazil. Dangerous striker, he's an up-and-coming potential star. What he did to King Green, he changed his name back to Bobby Green after this one, because that knockout was top 5, one of the best knockouts I've ever seen. Like, just out of nowhere, recommend.
You lose your nickname just off that? It's over?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his name was originally Bobby Green, and then Keen was the nickname. Then he changed his name to King Green. After this knockout, he's back to Bobby Green. The Keen is gone. Next fight, we did have a ladies fight. Was not eventful. I'll leave it at that. Decision victory for Amanda Lemos. She pulled out the victory there. Not an exciting fight at all. Then we had Ignacio against Jalen Turner. Good fight. First round submission, triangle choke. Jalen Turner reportedly retiring after losing that fight. He's had a tough run here. He was last fight he fought about a year ago. He thought he knocked a guy out about 10 seconds ago in the fight. Walked away. The referee did not stop it. The fight continued the next round, and then he got knocked out. And then this fight, he gets choked out. So he's calling it a career. Tough way to go, man. From a knockout win to getting knocked out in a submission all within a year. So Jalen Turner, we wish you the best, but looks like your career is over. Fight of the night in the UFC, Justin Gaethje versus Rafael. Gaethje pulls off the unanimous decision. These guys have fought back-to-back wars over the last 2 years. Gaethje pulling out unanimous decisions in both. 3 rounds grueling if you want to see two guys going at it, knees, elbows, fists, the whole nine yards. Gaethje, big, big win. And then in the light heavyweight title fight, Rome, I think, mentioned it, but Alexa Poledon going down to Magomed Ankalaev. Decision victory there. So we have a new UFC light heavyweight champ. The underdog, plus 120 dog, pulls out the victory. Unanimous decision, winning all three judges' scorecards. So there you have it, 313 UFC from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Pretty good fight card for the most part. Outside of the ladies' fight, wasn't very eventful, but the other four fights on the card, a lot of action. So I give the card a B minus rating as far as the main pay per view card. I give it a B minus overall.
Impressive. Favorite fight of the night.
Gaethje versus Rafael. That was a good fight, dude. I mean, if you got time, Roman, if you're still up, I can pull up that fight and put it on for you. If you're not too tired, that's up to you.
Still up. I think he fell asleep here like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, you know. But that fight will wake you up. It's a 3-round, 15-minute, but it is a battle. It is a good battle, good war.
No, still up. Nice.
I will show you. I will pull up the Bobby Green knockout because that did happen early in the first round. So I will pull that one up and you'll be like, damn, I didn't see that coming.
The guy lost his nickname, according to Aaron. That's a dude. That's a bad
knockout. You got to see it. You got to see it. Because if I got knocked out like that, you definitely wouldn't see me on the show for at least a month.
You guys are like, get these injuries where like once you get them, you're like, oh man, imagine if I was like playing like in that sport and I finally got that injury and like you kind of can totally feel the pain, the stinging in my neck right now, going down my spine and my left arm, like. Those stingers, I totally get the injuries now, like some of these guys get.
For me, for the UFC, the thing that hurts the most or just looks like it hurts the most, I don't know who it hurts more. It's just like the leg kicks to like the shin. Like whose foot or shin is like jacked up? Like I would imagine I'd be on crutches for like a fucking week or in a walking boot. Like I would just be like, dude, I can't walk. Like even after the fight when the adrenaline's kind of worn down, like you just see these dudes like limping around. I'm just like, dude, like. My foot hurts just watching you get hit.
No, I'm still in pain for my massage today.
You're going to be sore for about 3 days, man. 3 days.
And we got pains from the massage, finding out he's lactose intolerant. It was a full day for Rome.
Full day. Full day. I had BJ's. Deep dish. Well, it was a medium dish. It wasn't deep dish. I have a feeling they go deeper in other places.
Definitely go deeper. Deep tissue massage too, Rome. Did you get a deep tissue massage today, Rome? Is that part of like the whole deep dish, deep tissue, like everything deep for you today?
Yeah, they told me not to drink today. Just drink water because I'll be dehydrated. So,
well, that went right out the window.
Man, he's about to wake up and not be able to move tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they said like a lot of toxins were being released, and I was like really stiff in a lot of places. No happy ending. Go figure.
Well, it was. Yeah, I don't know if you wanted a happy ending or not, man. But it does cost extra.
He just said, "Hey, give me the Bob Kraft or what?"
what?
Wow, is that a thing now?
Whoa.
Where do you go, Jason? Let me get that number.
No, I was saying Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. But where do you go to get the Bob Kraft special? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I was just throwing it out there. Maybe, you know, Rome's in, up in the, you know, the San Francisco, the high elite circle. So I'm sure he's got some people, you know?
Well, it's kind of weird. You think he does, but he's coming down here to the Inland Empire to get his massages. So it's a little weird.
Just slum it with us eating at chain restaurants, you know?
You know, the IE can put a number on you. Obviously, it's I don't see if this was a 5-round title fight, Rome's not making it 5 rounds out here in the IE. No doubt about it.
I'm ready to put on Yellowstone and call it a night.
I'm going to put on a quick little UFC for you, Rome, and then you can put on Yellowstone. I'll go to bed and you can watch all to your heart's content.
This guy. Yeah, for sure. Are we good?
We're good.
No baseball updates. No hockey updates.
Thursday, man. We'll have an update after we remember we're going to the game tomorrow, Rome. So if anybody's there listening, I don't know if the show is going to be out beforehand, but you can catch us there at Honda Center.
We're going to try Gold Red Wings. They're winning the Stanley Cup this year. Put it in pencil.
That we're going to erase it later?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.